on this episode of the Naturist Living Show, Mormon Naturists.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome, dear listener, to episode number 51. And it's the first one of 2013, and we're now well into our fifth year because we've had 51 episodes by once a month. That's over five years now. Well, over 4 years, and we're in our fifth year, of course. And my name is Stéphane Deschaine. I'm your host for the Naturist Living Show and this podcast, and I'm also the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And I'm very happy to announce that we're now available on Stitcher Internet Radio. Stitcher Internet Radio is a, first of all, it's an app which you can download on your most of your smartphones, whether it's an iPhone or an Android phone. And it's strictly about podcasts. They have thousands and thousands of podcasts, and you can listen to them through your data plan, or you can have an offline download it so that you can listen while you're on the plane or when you don't have good connectivity. And it makes it a lot easier to find podcasts, and it recommends podcasts and based on your interests. But it's now also includes the Naturist Living Show, which so I'd like to think that it's the very best podcast that are available out there, because that's why they added us to their roster. So if you want it is a neat app. So if you want something that makes it a little easier for you to listen to this podcast and others, you can download it for free. Stitcher.com. There'll be a link on the website for the show at naturistliving.bearoaks.ca, which I always tell you at the end of the show, and I will again today. I continue to get a lot of emails and suggestions, and I do appreciate them because it does keep me going. So thank you for everyone who's written. I've tried to reply to everyone. I don't read all the notes anymore. On the show I did a few times, but it's just a little too much now, which is great. It's great because I appreciate getting them. But I did want to thank Hank specifically. He sent me a note maybe a month ago and telling me about this podcast he had discovered. It's the podcast is called The Mormon Expression, which is a show about issues related to Mormons and Mormonism, I guess. But specifically, he was telling me about episode 106, which was about Mormon nudists. So I went and listened to it, and I found it quite interesting. For those who don't know Mormons, Mormonism is a religion. It is called Mormonism as well. It is most commonly known as the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, or LDS, as they like to use as the short form for it. The term Mormon came from this book called The Book of Mormon, which is very fundamental to their faith. And originally, it wasn't a nice term, Mormons, but the Book of Mormon was their book, and eventually they've reconciled, I guess, because they now seem to accept the term Mormons, although they seem to still prefer LDS. They are Christians. Christianity has many branches, and even Mormonism, or LDS, has many branches as well. The main one is the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. And it began in the 19th century at the beginning. It was based on the visions of Joseph Smith. He was in New York, but later on, after he passed away, another founder of the religion, Brigham Young, brought all the followers to what eventually became Utah. And that's why Utah now is a center of Mormon religion. They were being persecuted and treated very poorly for their different ideas in the established states. So they went to the Wild West and to what is now Utah and founded their own area. Originally, they wanted to be their own city, their own world, but it's now part of course, of the United States, and they're an important part of America. In fact, the most famous Mormons right now is probably the ones from a show called Sister Wives on TLC, which is you can only get if you have cable or satellite. Because as the name suggests, it's about plural marriage, as the a particular part of Mormonism calls it. Most people know it as polygamy. They believe it's slightly different. But that was something that goes back to the early days of the religion, and where men would have multiple wives. And that's what the show is about. But if you're a little older, as I am, you might also remember a very famous couple that were also Mormons, Donnie and Marie. Now, I say couple, but they're actually brother and sisters. Brother and sister Donnie and Marie Osmond was a, for those who are younger, were a couple of singers, and they were a very famous act. I guess back probably, I don't know, in the 80s maybe. So there are a number of other famous Mormons, and Mormons are while they are a fairly tight sect and a fairly conservative religion in a lot of ways, they are fairly integrated in society and American society as well. And not surprisingly, they are Mormon nudists. And I listened to this podcast and I found it fascinating. I was particularly impressed by the hosts, who are not naturists or nudists. Their show is about Mormonism and the religion. And so they actually took their clothes off to do this interview with a couple of naturists. And it was interesting enough that I contacted the producers of the show and asked them for permission to rebroadcast their show. And that's exactly what I'm going to do right now within our show.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Mormon Expression. I'm your host, John Larson. I'm here with Zilpha, who's helping me out tonight.
Hello.
And, you know, normally there's a certain amount of anxiety that I have whenever I'm doing a podcast, just regular performance anxiety. And then, as you know, a couple months ago, we started doing it in the studio with people here. So that sort of moved the anxiety level up a little bit. I'm sort of shy.
Zilpha. Yeah.
Zilpha's,
I'll concur.
Zilpha can be a little shy sometimes. Tonight, we're going to take it all the way through the roof in terms of anxiety, and we are doing the Mormon Nudist Podcast. And truth be told, we are all sitting here naked. Is that true, Zilpha?
That is true, John.
Do you swear on everything that is decent and holy that we are sitting here naked?
That we are sitting here naked.
All right. And we're not alone either. So we've got two wonderful people who've agreed to come here with us. First of all, we have Jason. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for coming. And you are, in fact, naked.
Yes.
Okay.
We all are.
And we also have Lilith. Hi, Lilith.
Hello, everybody.
And you are also naked, right?
And my birthday suit.
I don't want to belabor the point, but... So we talked about this podcast from the very beginning. You know, when we first started the podcast, one of the ideas was to explore Mormonism in all of its splendor and glory. And years ago, I don't know what I was searching on the internet, but I ran into a website.
You were probably searching Mormon nudists.
I don't know what I was searching for. I'm not going to think about it. But I ran into an LDS Skinny Dippers website. And I was fascinated by it back then. And when we first assembled a list of podcasts, we talked about this one from the very beginning, that to get some of the Skinny Dippers on. So we have finally made it to that point. Now the website, I don't know if it's always been this way, has the tagline "Families Forever, Naked and Not Ashamed." So there are indeed actually practicing. More believing full-on Mormons who are skinny dippers are nudists, right?
That's correct.
More than you might think.
So why don't we first take it and say, what is the difference between a skinny dipper, a naturalist, and a nudist? Is it all the same thing, or is there any?
Well, skinny dippers obviously is involving water. naturalist, it's not naturalist. That would be like a scientist.
Oh, naturist.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
A naturist is someone who likes to be in nature, in the nude, and a nudist is someone who just enjoys being social in the nude.
Okay, so let's
you can combine all three.
You could.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's get the big question out of the way right away. So is it sexual?
No.
I mean, I guess that's an individual question, right?
It might depend on the day.
True.
It really hasn't been for me either. And before I got into this, I would have said, come on. How could it not be? But it really isn't. And the only way to know that is to experience it. And then you can totally understand it is not sexual.
So then... And this is an individual thing. I mean, we can't speak for everybody in the world. Jason, why don't we start with you? What is your motivation? I mean, what about the, I don't want to use the word lifestyle. What about the, what about it interests you? Why is it interesting to you?
Well, first of all, it was just, I don't know, curiosity. It was just always something I wanted to try. And when I left the church, it was one of the first things I did. I just wanted to see what it would feel like.
To be naked around other random people?
Yeah. And to be swimming without the swimming suit, which feels amazing.
Swimming without a swimming suit feels amazing.
Yes. And it's like flying first class. Once you've done it, it's
hard to go back. I mean, I take a bath without a swimming suit, so I can see that taking a bath would be less of experience if you were in your trunks, right?
Yeah.
So I can see that.
But to be able to move around in the water, it's just an amazing experience.
So do you, maybe we should ask Lilith what her underlying motivation for skinny dipping nude. I guess skinny dipping is always nude, but yeah.
I was actually active at the time I started attending activities. My family was a part of a naturist or nudist group up in Salt Lake. And my kind of New Year's goal for that year was to try anything that came along. And they had asked me for years and years if I wanted to join them, and I just laughed. And so finally I said, okay, I'll do it. My first nudist activity was actually karaoke. So I figured if I could do nude karaoke, I could pretty much do anything.
So you mean you got up like on the stage?
I did.
Now since
how old were you?
This would have been like 3 years ago, so I'm 33 now. So okay. 30.
So most of the people there were like LDS?
This was an LDS home that we went to.
So they, people weren't drunk. I mean,
No. The activity was at an LDS home.
So nude, stone cold sober.
Yes.
Singing wow.
Karaoke.
Yeah, that would exercise some demons, I guess. You know, you just get over it, I suppose.
Yeah, you do get over it. I mean, it still feels kind of nerve-wracking, but it's really empowering. And after the karaoke, I thought, okay, I'll just do as many events as I can. I enjoyed it and started going to the swims.
So your parents were active and they still are?
My mother was active and she has since been excommunicated. And my father actually passed away. And so my stepfather has never been a member.
Oh, okay.
So,
but for a while, your mom was...
Not while she was participating in the nudist events, but for her whole life up until the excommunication, yes.
Okay. So for you, you were active when you started.
Yes. So when I started, I took my garments off to sing nude karaoke.
And then you put them back on again at the end of the night.
And I was not the only one who did that. So,
I pushed out there for some people to give us the questions. That was one of the questions. I mean, what's the mechanics? Does everybody just? I guess the question is boundaries. You know, because we're so into that sort of boundary in American culture.
Do you go to a different room to get naked?
Like, are there men and women's locker rooms still? And
at the swims, yes. And I was a little confused at why we still use the men's and women's locker rooms, but we did. I mean, it was kind of off limits for the men to go in the women's locker room.
But not everyone will undress in the locker rooms. A lot of people will just go into the pool and undress poolside. Mm-hmm. So
you mean like they wear their swimming suit and then take it off?
No, they just wear their clothes and derobe like I just did.
Yeah, I should.
And then get into the pool.
I should say that the Zilpha, Jason, and myself, we're all sitting here in their inner robes, and Lilith, the pro, she just came here and stripped down. So. And then,
just make it easy.
It's funny because, you think about these things in the abstract, but in the reality, it's just sort of mundane. It's not as, it's not as strange or as what's another weird word for strange? Weird?
Freaky?
Yeah. I don't know.
How do you two feel?
Naked? No, actually, I don't really feel that uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But we do have microphones and a table and stuff.
Right.
There is a table strategically placed. and I'm sitting behind a screen. I mean, I'll admit, I mean, I have body issues. I mean, I'm overweight and, I'm a little furry and, but I'm not that uncomfortable. Now, if we were like walking around like at a party socializing, I wasn't sitting here under the table, I'd probably be a lot more uncomfortable. But I don't know. It's
your first time.
Roughly. It's my first time. I don't want to go into all the details of my life, but I'll call it my first time. So I don't. It's not that uncomfortable.
Well, I want to know what your relationship to the church has been. We know that Lilith was raised in the church and started practicing nudism, skinny dipping as an active member. But what about you, Jason?
No, I was raised in the church, very active, served a mission, but did not get into nudism until after I left the church. To me, there was an obvious conflict, but there isn't to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So is it something you'd thought about? Something that...
I had thought about it while I was in the church.
Uh-huh.
But I just thought, wow, I would never do that.
Can't do that.
Now there is an undercurrent of nudism in a strange place. And I saw it myself and I've talked to others who saw it, and that's among missionaries. A lot of missionaries will
walk around nude.
Yeah. They'll strip down and it's sort of not just sort of playful. And I don't mean playful like in a sexual way, but just
they probably do the same kind of thing in the military, just
I would suppose, yeah.
Kind of freeing in a very tightly organized situation. So one of the things that I was wondering about for you guys, is it more of a principle? Like you believe in the principle of the thing, or is it more just for enjoyment?
For me, it's enjoyment, pretty much. I'm not, I know there are people out there who are hardcore. They're naked all the time in their home. They people answer the door, they're naked and you just get over it. But for me, it's enjoyment. And there are times when I'm naked at home, but it's not something that I practice all the time. I'm not hardcore, but I do enjoy going to the activities and being naked and occasionally being naked at home, but it's just more for enjoyment.
So what is it about being naked around other people that makes it more enjoyable than just being naked at home?
That's a good question. I mean, it just feels good. I don't know how else to say it right now. But once you get over the anxiety, it just feels really good.
It's sort of like you're actually seeing somebody. Nobody's hiding. Nobody's trying to be somebody they're not. There's no, it's like uniforms at school. No one's above you. No one's below you. You just are who you are. I am not a skinny, dainty little person. And so getting naked for me was incredibly empowering. And I found that once I put my clothes back on, I was still naked underneath and gosh, I was sexy. I could be who I was and it was okay. And so I think that's very freeing. And all these other people are the same way. There's 60-year-old people and 80-year-old people and chubby people and skinny people, and they all come and get naked just to feel free.
Well, Zilpha and I have talked about this quite a bit. As adults, and I don't know if this is cultural, but it becomes harder and harder for us to connect with other people, to make real friendships. There's
and
people
to form intimate relationships with other adults.
And you try to have parties and you try to invite people over, and there's just so many barriers that it just feels like you're just trying to. And the older you get, the more it just builds up like big walls. And it sort of feels a little bit like all that just stripped away, right?
Right.
I mean, literally.
Definitely.
You know, because there's nothing to hide, I guess.
Well, and like we've talked about, the going back to the sexual nature of it, clothing can actually make people look more erotic. And when you take off the clothing and the accessories and everything, it makes it actually people look less erotic. I mean, they just look more
natural.
They're just people. Yeah, they're just people. I mean, and everyone has flaws under their clothing, and everyone has insecurities, and we all just look the same. It's not a huge deal.
So going back to that, one of the main arguments for nudism is that when young people are conditioned to it, there's less mystery. They're less likely to be involved in sexually deviant behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They're more comfortable with their bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the mystery is taken out, and so they're not out of control.
When you say young people, are you talking about teenagers or like young adults?
There
or children?
There are many resorts that allow families. So
And the children don't get like all freaked out by it and psychologically damaged or
well,
not
sure
that I've seen.
One or a few probably do, but that's not the norm.
When you're growing up with it, it's just normal. I don't know. I would assume.
So this is a good segue into the whole modesty question. You know, we're talking about, you know, everyone acknowledges there are nudists out there, but the Mormonism in nudist is the strange thing. And partly because Mormonism puts this huge, let me put it this way. Mormonism is obsessed with sex, right?
Right.
Because they talk modesty. About it. They talk yes. about it all the time, and sex in terms of modesty. So I think most people, when they hear Mormon nudist, and we were talking before, I don't know if we mentioned it, when you go to these activities, they're mostly, or a large portion of them are believing LDS people, right? So most people can't wrap their heads around that because of the modesty issue. So
and they think naked equals sexual. So if there's a bunch of naked people together, then there must be sexual things going on. And so you guys, would you say that there are sexual things going on or just totally not?
Has not been my experience. And, you know, it depends on the people that are there. But for every activity I've been to, any type of sexual conduct is very much prohibited. Would not be tolerated.
There are actually rules about sexual things, you know, so it's meant to not be that way. I mean, even in resorts, males, you know, can have a physical reaction to seeing females naked or even, you know, thinking something in their head, and they're asked to bring towels and cover up or go somewhere else until that's resolved. It's not that it's not going to happen because we're, you know, we're people and we know that's going to happen. It just physically physiologically happens.
So it happens less than people think.
It
though.
Really I mean,
it's a big fear for men.
It really does.
Going into it, but mm-hmm. it rarely happens. I've mm-hmm. actually never seen it happen.
Haven't either.
To be clear, I want to make sure we're not talking in innuendos. We're talking about men getting erections, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
So the protocol is that a man who gets an erection would cover up with a towel.
Or jump in the water.
Most people ask that you'll cover up or find another place to be until...
But you've never seen any kind of issues with that.
I never have.
I haven't.
So I can understand that, you know, overt sexual behavior would be sort of out of line. But I'm wondering, you know, you get a normal party of adults who are just friendly, and there'll be a certain level of flirting and that sort of stuff going on. So does that tone down, or does it stay about the same? Is it just like the same thing, it's just everybody's naked?
Or do you turn off the flirting because you're all naked?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think about it. Situation that
I haven't
I've been
seen
in like
it,
that,
I
but
haven't seen any flirting get out of hand.
Yeah, I think it's just normal flirting.
Okay.
It would be hard to keep up the even, you know, I'm watching the time. It's been about 15 minutes we've been talking, and it's sort of easy to forget, you know, that we're all sitting here naked. It's just you just sort of kind of go into your normal mode. I mean, it's hard to keep in my mind. Oh, and I'm naked. And I'm naked. And I'm naked.
Right.
And I'm still naked.
So well, for each of you, you know, growing up in the church, that mindset, how did you deal with that? How did you rationalize it? How did you reconcile the two?
The modesty thing, you, Lilith, who started going as a believer.
Believe it or not, that was not a huge issue for me. I was really lucky. The family that I grew up in was super open, even though we were religious and we all went. My dad was actually inactive for most of my life, so we'd spend Sundays at church and then at the lake with my dad. And I know that was hurtful for my mom, but she just let it ride, which, you know, to her credit, I think it served me well. We, you know, it just wasn't a huge issue for me. I had tons of Mormon guilt. I did have sex before I was married, and that was worse for me than getting naked and singing karaoke.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So going to that, I was wondering, so if you're like frequently at events, I don't know how frequent that would be, like maybe once every couple months, or
it's hard for me.
It used to be twice a month.
It used to be, yeah, more.
Now it's okay. Once every couple of months.
So you're around these naked people and you're not seeing them sexually. Then you go and you're with a partner. Is there any kind of trouble seeing them as sexual
There's no confusion. Context is everything.
Okay.
I mean, in a social setting, it's absolutely not sexual. If you're in bed with someone, that is. And, you know, I worried about that too. About maybe getting so desensitized to nudity that I couldn't get turned on.
Yeah.
Nah, you don't need to worry about that.
It still happens when you're with the person in an intimate setting.
Yes.
So, Jason, how about you? How did you reconcile those two things?
Well, he was already out.
You can never get out. I mean, I don't
That's
buy
true,
when
actually.
Anybody says you're out, because you're still carrying around all that baggage.
Okay. I had the feelings like, I can't believe I'm about to do this when I went for my first time.
Yeah, I can empathize with that.
But really didn't feel any guilt. In fact, after my first time, it was one of the happiest moments of my life. It was just an amazing feeling of happiness.
So do you think for you, it was any bit an act of rebellion? I mean, I've been around enough ex-Mormons to know that oftentimes when they first sort of are comfortable with the fact that they're an ex-Mormon. I mean, I'm talking like 3 months out. They like to, you know, they're ready to party.
Turn everything over on its head, and whatever the church said, you better not do that, they'll do.
They want to taste what they were denied. Do you think there was any of that? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Maybe. My thing was, I'd always been curious about it. And as soon as the moral element was no longer in my way, I just went for it.
And you didn't feel any guilt because you didn't think there was anything wrong with it when you did it. And you didn't think there was anything wrong with it either. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, no.
And for a lot of people, you know, there is nothing morally wrong with nudism.
Well, we were born that way. And Adam and Eve were that way when they were, like, you know, more innocent. It was only when they kind of became tainted by the world that they had to put on a little fig apron.
Right.
So it is, you know, it's the way we come. So it's not that...
Well, and I want to point out to the modesty thing is, when we've hinted at this, modesty and nudity aren't necessarily wed. I mean, we were talking beforehand about bras, right? And you look, especially you watch old movies from the 50s, and they have those damn torpedo bras, you know, and it's not
big,
like they,
long and pointy.
It's not like they showed nipple, but the whole thing was all about that, right? And they were riding high, and they were pointing, coming right at you, and that's more sexual than, you know, a normal pair of breasts.
It's
right?
More, yeah, it's more erotic. It's more blatant.
And it's meant to make you think about sex.
Right.
You go right there.
Right. When you have a naked body, it's beautiful, but it's not necessarily, ooh, sex.
Right. But yeah, you take you know, historically corsets and bustles. What are they called? Bustles? Is that where the... What are the things?
Well, yeah, bustles were those big...
To make their butts look bigger. Yeah. And even today, you know, you see like the tramp stamps and different things like that that are...
What are tramp stamps?
That's where the women get a tattoo right above their crack
and then
on the back.
And then they wear their pants low.
Yeah, but I mean, all these things. And you look at like tribal behaviors, you know, foot binding, neck stretching.
Right.
You know, all these things are to enhance sexual dimorphism, right? So in a way, a lot of clothing... and a lot of the ways we dress are very either feminine or masculine to emphasize those differences. And in a lot of ways, that's there's a store right here in American Fork called Sexy Modest. You know, and I don't know if they're unclear on the topic or, but you can dress in a very provocative way and still wear garments.
Mm-hmm. This makes me think about an article I just read. I can't remember if it was on Post-Mormon or if it was on Mormon Feminist, but they were talking about young women and the issue with modesty and how, you know, their first 20, 25 lessons are on modesty and taking care of the family, whereas the males, you know, first 20 lessons are being part of the priesthood. They don't get the family until the 25th lesson. And I think that's kind of interesting, you know.
And they probably don't have very many lessons about modesty.
No. It's a female issue, and it's laid on the girls nice and thick.
That, it is,
you
very...
know, they need to be modest.
Oh, yeah. They go after the boys about sex and masturbation, but I don't ever remember hearing a talk on modesty.
No.
Jason, do you?
No, never.
Except in conjunction to girls. You know, right. we were sometimes told, don't encourage that behavior. Don't look at them. Don't talk to them. And for Mormons, that's a very, it's a very patriarchal, upside down view of sex, where sex is something that women withhold or give, and they need to protect, and then they need to not have it taken from them, and all that kind of stuff. In a very, well, I mean, you can see it play out unhealthily, right? In things like pornography consumption in Utah. I have no doubt that that's fueled as a reaction to, you know, church teachings on modesty.
I would agree.
So would seeing a bunch of people naked in real life in a non-sexual setting take any of the desire away for, like, pornography, do you think? Does it satisfy any of that, or is it completely different because it's not sexual and pornography?
I think it's completely different.
Let's be clear.
Sexual.
There's a whole array of pornography, right?
Yeah. I'm talking about, okay, how about the kind of pornography where they just get naked?
Yeah. I mean, I remember as a kid, obsessed, and just a normal kid, you know, I was 14 sitting in class, just staring at the sweater. Right. whatever was underneath there, you know, and I think it could diffuse some of that stuff.
Yeah, I think so. If you were around naked people, you wouldn't wonder what was under the, you know, was under the clothes.
You might have a healthier, you know, you hear stories about faithful LDS people when they first get married and they don't know slot A goes in tab B, or you know, just the whole mechanics of the body. They're just, and I'm not talking about sex stuff. I'm talking about people are just not comfortable familiar with their bodies.
Well, and then there's a lot of people who don't ever feel comfortable being seen naked, ever, even by their spouse, and that's fueled by an overly, you know, pervasive sense of modesty.
I don't think Marky Peterson ever saw his wife naked.
Yeah, I remember. And I've heard that from old timers that, you know, it was always in the dark and always
under the blankets.
Yeah. And to me, you know, Zilpha, we were never that way. And when I hear that, it's not like, it's just that comfortability of just being able to walk around and not have to, it's the same thing we're talking about. And I think that's sort of a perversion or an outgrowth of this unending emphasis on modesty.
Well, and even like when I was in college and my roommate, who I was friends with for a long time, she would turn away, take off her bra under her sweater, you know, like to get dressed. And then she'd like, she'd do all these things just to not be, have any part of her body seen. And I mean, I couldn't understand that at the time because my family was a lot more open about, I mean, they didn't walk around naked, but in their rooms they did, and they didn't, you know, mind if I happened to be in the room with my mom or whatever, especially among women. I just thought it was so odd that among women as friends that she felt so uncomfortable with her body being seen. It was odd. And I don't think she's alone as a Mormon or as a even there's a lot of Christian face that would probably have the same view on modesty, but
yeah, I don't want to lay this fully on Mormonism. I think Mormonism is amping up like an American thing.
Yeah,
you know, But they are amping it up. There's no doubt. But there's other conservatives and fundamentalists who are doing the same sort of thing. But I think Americans in general have hang-ups about nudity.
They really do. I know in Europe they have, you know, they have nude beaches everywhere and resorts everywhere. And, you know, in France there's a whole town that's it's naked. They're all naked. They go to the grocery store naked.
Really?
The families are naked. Yes. And it's not a big deal. You know, in Europe, you can see a breast and someone can be breastfeeding and it's not a huge issue. But we have issues with just that alone.
Breastfeeding, yeah. Breastfeeding. I mean, even if you're
accidentally seeing some skin is a huge issue here.
You want to talk about a perversion. I mean, the fact that we have sexualized breastfeeding shows that we've gone too far.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about men. when I was doing some research and I looked around, I was looking at this the LDS Skinny Dipper site. We'll put a link up, and you know maybe the ranks will swell tenfold. But there's a site where they have people so you can get to know people, and it was male, female, male, you know, like easy 20 or 40 to 1. What's with men and nudism? And what's the reverse question is,
Where are the women?
I think it's interesting. I don't know. What is it with men and nudism? I wonder sometimes maybe they just don't have the hang-ups. They're not constantly taught to be thin, be
right,
look this way, be a size zero. And so for them, it's not as big an issue, but I'm not sure, Jason.
And I would like to add that at our events, we have a good ratio. It's about 60-40.
Right.
Men. I mean, it's not like 20 to 1. Maybe on the web. Maybe people who post on the websites, there's a pretty big ratio there, but not at the actual events.
So what percentage are couples, you know, like in some sort of relationship? A lot?
In our group, there's quite a lot of couples. Yeah. I think the majority of them come together.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I could see that might lend to that, because if you're going in a couple, you're not as likely to need to post a online profile. You know, you have your buddy with you going to the...
I think there's an issue with the online nature sites and nudist sites. You can't tell who's there to, who's, you know, who's honestly a naturist and they just like to get naked at home, or if they're there for some other reason, i.e. sex. So I think that's a majority of the reason why there's lots of guys and maybe no females. You know, it's scary. You don't know who's out there prowling for you. So... But it's, as far as our activities goes, it is a good ratio. And it's a good ratio in age, too. You know, we have a lot of young folks, young single folks now. It wasn't always that way. And it kind of fluctuates up and down. But, you know, up into the 60s, 70s, people come.
Yeah.
And you said 80s.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, 60 or 70 people come.
Right. Oh, in age.
Oh, in age.
Too. In okay. age, yeah.
60 or 70 there people, are... that would be a lot.
Yeah, at our swim parties.
Wow.
Maybe I'm just imagining. It seems like it'd be easier when you're older. You know, like, there's not as much body pressure.
Right. You're old, so, you know, so what? Here,
maybe I'm just projecting. I don't know. But, you know, if you're 70, there's not as much, you know, expectation that... I don't know.
Well, I think that might be true. And maybe that's, I mean, I think the young folks who frequent, it benefits them. I've heard some young people express they don't want to come anymore. They don't want to see fat people or wrinkled people or whatever.
Really?
Well, then stay home and look at yourself. I don't honestly care. But, you know, I think it makes it comfortable. And the thing is they really don't care. They don't care what somebody else looks like, you know. So it makes it easy.
It would make me a lot more uncomfortable if I were the most out of shape or the most unattractive person there.
Oh, really? Not me.
Really? You think it'd still be fine?
I don't know.
I would agree with Jason. If I went and there were a bunch of, you know, really, you know, very attractive, super fit people,
yeah,
even if I was that way, I would feel more uncomfortable than seeing, you know, the wide array. I would feel better about myself seeing... Because everybody has flaws.
Right.
And we talked about that modesty. One of the reasons we dress up is to cover up our own flaws, right?
Well, even the skinny people, seriously, when they get undressed, there's something. You know, everyone looks a certain way. I'm sure if you needed to, you could find something about somebody else. It's just not a big deal. And, you know, no one's gawking and no one's looking to find your flaws. So it's a comfortable situation, I think.
So is it frowned upon to, I mean, are you supposed to take everything off, like earrings and, or does it not matter?
No, I don't think it matters. And there are many first time people who still come and, you know, wear, yeah, well, and wear robes or, you know, wear a sarong or something like that until they're comfortable. It's not like you're here.
Right by the pool.
You're here, get undressed, you know, and they allow a lot of new people. I think, you know, you can come a few times like that until you're comfortable.
And what about touching? Is that like taboo? Do you not, are not allowed to touch anybody while you're all naked?
No, there's really no taboo against that. And we would, we play tag sometimes. Maybe that is just an excuse to touch each other. I don't know.
Well, you know, in the old movies from the 50s, they're always playing volleyball. And I figured that was just to see the body in motion. I don't know. I don't know what the volleyball the wiggle, thing is jiggle. All about.
Yeah, that wouldn't be for me. I know some
not
of
for
the,
me either.
I've heard of some groups playing. Oh, what's the game with the dots where you have
Twister.
To reach and
oh,
yeah, that's not my bag. Yeah. But
it,
you know,
it would seem at that point I would assume in the community there in the communities because everybody's different. There becomes it's not a strict boundary between
strictly nudism
and then into
and
swinging
sexuality.
And other sexual activities.
Yeah,
I guess there's some crossover, just like there isn't anything. You know,
yes, that's true. There is, and I know some. Not all. Some are strictly family, but I know some resorts, you know, have a strict just a nudist policy during the day and that swingers can come in the evening and you're just told, you know, if this is going on, you're welcome to leave or, but, at, you know, after a certain hour, these activities, certain activities may be going on, but I know that's not every resort.
Right.
Have you guys ever been to any kind of resort or cruise or, you know?
I haven't.
No?
I haven't had a chance either.
Seems like it would
closest,
be kind of fun.
The closest resorts to us, I believe, are Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
California.
There are a few in Idaho.
Yeah. There are none in Utah,
right now,
obviously.
And neither of you have done Burning Man.
No, but I wanted to, actually.
It would be fun, too.
I don't know.
When I'm done with school, I can do that.
It's really hot.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it'd be comfortable to be naked, right? Maybe that's why they all walk around naked.
Yeah, that could be.
So, I mean, and we talked about the crossover in the group. I know for a fact there is, you know, we talked about Mormon nudist. There is a Mormon swinger association in Utah too. So it is out there.
I think people would be surprised what's in Utah. Actually, there there's a wide a range of things that are here. You can anything that's kind of remotely out there, you can find a group for in Utah.
Well, and you know, we collectively are normal people. You know,
right.
We have the same sort of desires, the same sort of interests, the same sort of things that go across the board. And I think that the LDS culture and the LDS people are much more diverse. You know, I've been talking to some friends about this lately. If you go to a church, unfortunately, what happens in most wards, you get a lot of Glenn Beck, you get a lot of strict Republicanism and food storage and all this sort of stuff up there. But I don't think that really represents the Mormons. I think, unfortunately, in the past 30 years, we've gotten a culture where the people who might be more liberal politically or socially or whatever, just keep quiet. And I think the church would be a much healthier place if everybody just spoke up. You know, isn't there a scripture passage that says the sins will be shouted from the rooftops? What a glorious day that'll be. We'd all just realize, oh, yeah, I'm really not that, you know. Yeah,
you know,
everybody be like, oh, not again. You know, it'd just be nothing, you know.
For me, leaving actually had nothing really to do with the intellectual stuff, you know, the polygamy and the bigamy and all of the other, you know, the plates not possibly not being real or whatever. For me, it was having to be quiet all the time about things that I believed and not feeling like I could say what I as a person believed or what I needed to say and either be heard or not be, you know, an outcast. And finally, it got to be a point where I was just not living in accordance to, you know, the way that the person that I was. And that's when it was, you know, it was, after that, it was easy.
Well, I think that sort of hiding manifests itself in some other unhealthy ways. We talked about pornography, but I remember reading recently that Utah leads the country in like hair dye sales and has one of the highest breast augmentation rates in the country.
And makeup sales.
Makeup sales.
I've heard that we're the highest in taking depression meds.
Antidepressants. Yeah, well, everybody's trying to appear to be a certain way. And if they don't, then they try to at least make it look like that. On the surface.
So let's
say, say one thing about what you were saying about church. A lot of the people who speak up are conservative. One of the complaints I've heard at these groups we go to from the LDS people there is that in its early days, the church was a very dynamic organization with some really radical ideas. And somehow over its history, we've become super conservative and we've really lost something in the process.
Well, and I agree with that 100%, but all hope's not lost. It's not lost. It's buried. You know, it's there still. There's still, and unfortunately for the church, there are a lot of people chased out of the church who I think if they stayed in would help contribute and make it much better, but they leave because they don't feel a home.
Like Lilith.
There. Yeah. I have a good friend who's still in too, and I know she has many issues the same as me, but she's of a bolder nature and she's able to say things, even knowing that, you know, it'll be kind of frowned upon and she won't have friends and, you know, but I think everyone's different. For me, I just couldn't feel like I could keep my mouth quiet and not, you know, and still be received.
Right.
So you didn't feel like you could speak up.
Right.
I felt like that too.
So let's talk more about nude people. Those sort of body issues, you know, in America right now, there are a lot of, we talk about body modification, breast augmentation, other sort of things. A lot of focus on using a razor. So how does that play out are people more sort of natural in terms of, say, their landscaping I'm wondering, do those issues play out the same frequency or are they less so among?
There are both types of people within the nudist group.
You
know,
everything.
Some people, they'll be smooth naturists or whatever, and they want to shave everything. And some people are okay to just go natural and, you know,
be bushy.
Yeah, whatever it is what it is.
So I guess that's the answer to the question. It's just the same dynamics.
Yeah.
You know.
And I know they kind of joke back and forth between the groups. I've seen some of that before, but I don't think they care much either way.
It sounds like, at least in your group, it's a lot less about the natural part of being naked and more about the social kind of freeing feeling of being naked.
I think there's some of both. But yeah, the social aspect is very important, and it's I think that's one of the ways we as humans find happiness, is by being social. And for a lot of us, this is a great way to meet other people who are similar to us, which is really important.
So on some of the sites I looked at, people almost describe it in spiritual terms. For either you guys or people you've encountered, does anybody express that like as an extension of their spirituality, as an extension of their Mormonism?
I've not been able to speak, you know, I know some of the people are members, but I know a lot of them are not openly so within the group, or, you know, they wouldn't tell their friends that they go to naturist or nude activities also. So I think there's kind of a huge disconnect. A lot of people that are active are still sort of in hiding about what they do. I don't know that I've talked to anyone else about that.
Yeah, I've come across comments like that on the internet, but I haven't really heard much of it from talking to the people at the group.
When you were talking about your first time, you said that you felt the most happy that you ever had in your life. And that kind of reminds me, that sounds similar to some kind of spiritual gain, I guess.
Well, maybe there was a spirit, probably more emotional.
Okay.
Than spiritual.
Some people would, you know, like, use those terms interchangeably.
Right. I can totally see how this could be a spiritual experience.
Well, and a lot of the naturists in this area, there are a few groups, and one of the groups, you know, they don't maybe attend the social gatherings as much, but they do a lot of nude hiking. There are a lot of people who know places to go, and that's what they do. They go out by themselves and they go nude hiking. I know the San Rafael Swell is a huge place, and you know, anywhere that's
remote,
remote, people go, you know. And there, you know, there was a lot of controversy just recently about the hot springs
at Diamond Fork.
Mm-hmm. Diamond Fork Hot Springs.
Yeah, I was going to mention Diamond Fork. Yeah, that's where
there are.
That's probably my first encounter with.
There are a lot of nudists that go up there, and it's not posted, and I don't know where it stands now, but.
Well, it's, you know, it's far enough. You have to hike far enough that there's no authority that could really sort of interfere with.
Right. And I know there are days that are better, is what I've been told. You just know when to go after a while, when other people won't be there.
I went up there two or three times as a student, and I found that, and, you know, we didn't know when we first went up there, but after dark, you know, clothing was more likely to come off than in the daytime. So,
yeah. So I know there are people who love to be nude, though, and do it in nature, and they do it. It's, you know, kind of a communion for them. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
So now, sorry.
I was going to say that does sound more spiritual.
Right.
The people who would go out and kind of commune with nature in their natural state.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like most LDS people are really on the down low here. Do you know of any occurrences of repercussions from church leaders or any sort of coming down on it or anything like that?
Not that I know of. Or not that anyone has said, you know, openly.
We did have one woman who came to the swims for a while, and then she stopped coming, and someone said she had talked to her bishop about it, and he told her, you know, not to go anymore. But she came back later.
But good for her.
She was away for a while. But yeah, most people just don't talk.
They just don't say anything.
What was the, you mentioned a talk before we started the podcast. Who was that?
It was a talk in the Liahona. I think the guy's name was Giles Florence.
Oh, so it was an article in the Liahona.
Yeah, it wasn't a talk. It was an article.
And you think it was, the Liahona oftentimes publishes, because Liahona is for outside the U.S. And Liahona oftentimes has a lot of the content that's in the Ensign, but it's dumbed down or, was this only Liahona?
That was the link I saw. I don't know.
Because I can see I can see those guys in Salt Lake thinking, this is a big problem in Europe,
you know, and aiming it at the
Europeans. But anyway, go on about the article.
Well, the article just said it was giving examples of moral decay in society. And it talked about in the Netherlands how it was becoming more legal to go nude at the beach. And it was putting that up with, you know, gay marriage and abortion, things like that. And that, but that is the only... That's the only thing I've been able to find that specifically says something bad about nudism.
You know, I mean,
it's hard to find.
I'm sorry. This brings up something that I remember hearing also. My ex-husband, he was not a member, but he went to BYU, and he was part of the music group there, and they toured Europe. And one of the places, I believe, I can't remember where it is, where the sauna is super
Finland?
Big. Yeah, they were in Finland, and they had a huge... talk on, you know, how you can get out of the sauna and you should not be doing that because, you know, you get naked to do the sauna and that they will invite you to do that because that's one of their customs. And I don't know, I think that's interesting. Wow. But I'm sure a lot of the members there, you know, get in their saunas nude. It's what they do.
Oh yeah,
it's not a huge deal,
and it's not sexual. It's
right.
More of a health thing.
Right.
That's one of the biggest arguments for being a Mormon and a nudist, is that our prohibitions against nudity are cultural. They're not from Jesus.
Uh-huh.
It's just a culture thing.
Yeah, and they're not. And I read, when I was preparing for this, I read, I guess it's pronounced, I don't even have the word in front of me. Is it gymnophobia or something like that?
Fear of nudity?
The fear of nudity. And Zilf and I were talking earlier, you know, it's hard when... In a normal culture or a more healthy culture, you might be able to diagnose that. But when the whole society has the same neurosis, how do you pick it out? But I mean, I read the Wikipedia article on it, with, you know, which is the public with the fear of nudity, and I checked down the list. Yep. That's me. You know, because there is real fear that way. And I know, as a, you know, we talked a lot about men before. I was sharing this story with some friends the other day. I was, and I'm almost ashamed to tell the story, but I was driving home the other day, and it was cold, and there was a little boy. There was a little 3 or 4 year old who had, he was around a corner. He wasn't really close to a house, and he was on a trike, and he didn't have a coat on. And I thought, oh no, you know, here, you know, my first instinct was to pull over, get him in my car, and drive him around, find his house. My second instinct was, they'll see a man pulling over and putting a kid in the car, and they're going to freak out. And I am ashamed to say that I drove on because of that, you know, negative perception.
You just can't, as a man, you can't help a child by putting them in your car. You cannot.
Right.
Do
right.
That.
Now I could have gone and walked around with them, but still,
even as a woman, you couldn't do that.
Well, and my point is, it feeds into this whole thing, this whole nudist thing, and this whole there's a lot of things we've taken things way, way, way too far. You know, where's moderation?
Right. Right.
And moderation in clothing
and
means you don't always wear it. Right.
Sensibility. I mean, yeah.
For some people, yeah.
Okay, Zilpha. So, you've been naked now for 45 minutes. Where are you at now?
I feel better than I did at first.
Yeah, I mean it's not. So did you get converted? Are you now a nudist?
I don't know. I think there is something to the idea that, you know, once you are without your clothing, it's hard to hide. So at first it's very disconcerting, but then after a little while you feel, I almost feel more comfortable with my body than when I had my clothes on. I was trying, but I never know what to wear for one thing. So, you know, if I didn't have to worry about that, then maybe it would be more comfortable and more, and at least more honest. How about you, John?
It's hard to express because all the metaphors you would use have to do with nudity. So I can't use a metaphor to say, "Well, I feel naked because I'm naked." No, I think if I went to an activity, it might be healthy for me because I still, you know, have strong neuroses or whatever. But and maybe it helped me lose some weight. You know.
Well, you'll see other people who look real.
Yeah,
and then you feel okay. I personally did. Other people look real. They look like me.
I have to say that I would not be comfortable taking our children to, you know, we talk about the family resorts. I wouldn't be comfortable with that at all.
I don't think I would either. And, you know, that's not what our organization is about.
So let's talk a little bit. So there's people out there listening right now, I guarantee you, who are like, yeah, this is for me. So, what should they do if they want to become Mormon closeted, or, you know, they want to, you know,
or if they're already out and they just are interested in nudism?
Well, many people are already nude at home. I can guarantee you that. But if they're interested in the social aspect, you know, there are plenty of places here in Utah that you can find to join a group, or, you know, even small social gatherings if you want to start small.
The way our group communicates is on Yahoo Groups.
Right.
And it's UANR. What is that? Utah All Natural Recreation or something? I don't even know.
But UANR.
So if you just go to Yahoo Groups and do a search for that, then it'll come up. And then you can send an email to the moderator. And then, you know.
So, you have to be approved to, like, join the group, right?
Yes.
I mean, open to anybody off the street.
No. I don't know how many people they turn away.
What sort of gatekeeping? Because Lilith, we talked about Zilph and I actually going to a activity before we did this, and there were some gatekeeping hurdles to get in as a new person.
It's good if you have a sponsor, if you have somebody that you know that's in the group that can kind of say, you know, vouch for you. You're not there to oogle or whatnot, but it's not necessary. I know there are many people who come on their own accord. I know you're allowed to attend, I believe, one or two activities without paying the fee or joining the UANR. But there are also groups. There is another Yahoo group, which is Nude Utah, I believe. And they don't meet together as a group as much, but they do a lot of, you know, nude hiking and a lot of naturist activities. I know a lot of them aren't willing to join other people. It's just purely for themselves. But I think there are plenty in there that will.
And maybe the listeners should think about starting their own group.
Yeah, I know. Why not? There have been a lot of groups that have started, young groups The young people want to get together and do maybe different things than the older people do. And so I know that's, you know, there's been some activities.
Yeah, we've had some movie nights, game nights.
Yeah.
So have there been any downsides for either of you in doing these activities and getting nude around other people? Have you had any negative?
I haven't.
Aspects? I haven't either. I, you know, it's not something I'm super open about with everyone, but my close friends know what I do. In fact, I've tried to convert all of them, but they just won't come. But no, not for me.
My philosophy in life is you have to try everything 3 times.
Give it at least that, right?
But you would feel uncomfortable about like having your employer find out about it just because of what they might think, or
I wouldn't talk about it with my employer. I wouldn't talk about it with anybody I'm not really close with.
Mm-hmm. Except for me.
Even not all
except
of them.
For everybody listening to
right. I wouldn't either, but I think that's mostly because there are a lot of preconceived notions like we've just talked about. And unless you know them really well, you don't know where they're going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, people are getting fired on Facebook for posting pictures of them just at their workplace. You don't know what people will do. So I don't, unless
I know
someone.
But the people I've told, nobody is freaked out.
Yeah, that's true. Me neither.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have to sponsor the first Mormon Expression nudist get together. I'll at least offer this. If you're interested in Utah, send me your email. I'll get you all together.
We have to call it Naked Expression or something like that.
Right.
Nude Expression. Me.
All right. Well, Lilith, Jason, it's been a hoot. any last words from anybody?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I couldn't think of any. Thanks. Yeah,
all right. Well, as always, the discussion continues on the website at mormonexpression.com. You can send us an email at mail@mormonexpression, or you can call us on the phone number, which is there on the webpage.
So you'll see that the stories, the experiences, they're not that different from any other naturists. Any group who discovers naturism goes through similar discovery, no matter what their original beliefs were, no matter where they originally came from and how they were originally raised. And I think, you know, it's important to note that naturism can be found in all groups. There are no way to really identify a naturist. Yeah, you could be almost any religion. You certainly obviously can be any gender, any age. You can be rich, you can be poor, you can be professional, you can be a tradesperson. You can be from many different countries and cultures and still be a naturist. There are many naturists in all of those areas. And I think that's evidence that being comfortable with who we are, with our own body, in our own skin, is so fundamental to who we actually are. It is a fundamental truth. And that's why naturism isn't just taking your clothes off. It is ethical naturism. It is to be some. It is something that is important to the human condition. And that's why we need to keep promoting it. I don't want to sound like it's a religion, because it's not. But we need to keep spreading the message and getting people back in touch with who they are, with their real selves. Well, that's all once again for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you, as always, for listening. My name, once again, is Stéphane Deschaine, and I'm your host for this podcast and this episode of the Naturist Living Show. And I'm also the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. You will find links to all of the items that I mentioned in the show in the show notes, as well as some of the links and that were mentioned in the show, the Mormon Expression that we included in this episode. They will all be found on our show website, which is found at naturistliving.bearoaks.ca. And keep sending your comments and your suggestion. Always appreciate getting them. The show's email address is naturistliving@bearoaks, that's B-A-R-E, of course, bearoaks.ca, because we are in Canada. Join us again in about a month for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.